How rotten do you let your bananas get before you throw them away? I mean, how spotty does a banana have to be before you take it to the dome? You know what I'm saying? Or do you?
They're going through the Z virus by the time I'm ready to get rid of them.
I just can't get rid of them.
No, the browner they get, the sweeter they are.
The sweeter they are, and I got to tell you, sometimes you know, even if I don't eat the whole thing, even if it's all mushed up inside, I'm still gonna eat some of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, this guy's been through the ringer.
Oh no, that's a good banana. What do you mean? There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, it's covered in spots. You can't see, I guess.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Covered in spots. It's got some spots on the inside too.
Oh, I thought you was saying this is brown, like brown. No, it's still yellow.
It's barely yellow. It's like look.
Oh no, that's still yellow.
Look at that. Look at that brown on there.
That's very man in the yellow hat yellow.
Hmm. How about that man in the yellow hat, huh?
How about it? Did he touch George in any way?
Okay,
during the times?
Right.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Yeah, yeah.
There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now, you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
Just us, the cameras, and those wonderful people out there in the dark.
Science fiction. The wave of the future.
I wonder where a guy, an everyday Joe like myself, could find a little action.
Bye.
Yeah.
Welcome to Comic-Con, the geek podcast for the rest of us.
You know, as the legendary Jessica Rabbit said, it's not her fault, you know. She was just drawn
that way. She's just drawn that way.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, that Jessica Rabbit.
She's just drawn that way. Who drew Jessica Rabbit?
Who decided to draw her that way? And furthermore, who decided to let Betty Boop just walk in there like that all with her sexy ass saying, "But I still got it, Eddie." Well,
you like that big head, huh?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, you still got it, baby. You know? He looked at her. He said, "You still got it."
Because she was second rate by then. By the time, you know,
exactly.
Jessica had the main stage.
She's still black and white.
Betty Boop just was good for serving drinks and cigarettes.
Serving drinks and cigarettes.
Cigarettes!
But she was at one point good for something else. Right. Right. You still got it, baby. Like, you know, Eddie Valiant back in the day was like, "Hey, how about I give you a ride home?"
You know? Could a young Bruce Willis could have been Eddie Valiant.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If they were into making prequels back then, they could have just done a young Bruce Willis, like Eddie Valiant and his brother solving crimes, friends with tunes, before they dropped that piano on his brother.
Right.
You know?
Bruce Willis, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips. I love it. I'm here for it. Why not? We don't care where he's from. He played Buddy Holly, and he plays a Native American. It doesn't matter. It's Hollywood, folks.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
Can you remake Roger Rabbit today? Would you want to remake it, or would you want to continue it?
I say continue it.
Continue with it in Toontown.
Robert Zemeckis is still alive. You bring all the tunes back, you know?
You can't. You never get Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse in the same room with you.
You can't get them in the same room. And not only that, that animation versus live action, they would try to polish it up too much. It wouldn't have the same grit that original had.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even as many innuendos. And I need some innuendos, you know? Mm-hmm. Patty cake, you know? She's moaning. She's coming. You know what I'm saying? They're just doing patty cake. That's right, folks. Sometimes you got to go there.
What about the off version of Jessica Rabbit? Was she just the slut at the top of that building, or what was it about that fake Jessica, that faux Jessica Rabbit,
that faux Jessica Rabbit? It's a man.
Yeah, she had Jessica's body
for a split second.
for a split second, but I mean, at the same time, if it got down to it, I would have taken her out.
You would have knocked that one out?
Yeah, I would have knocked that one out. It's, you know, I might not could get the real thing, but we can get, she was pretty damn close.
He ran from that so fast, he wasn't even fucking around.
He didn't run for that. Those lips was chasing him down the street.
Imagine those lips on your cock, though.
Because
they do that again for me, please.
Eddie wiped that shit off his cheek. He was in
he
that,
had
that
to.
Taxi cab.
He had to. What would
what was that taxi cab's name? Well, do you remember the taxi cab name?
It wasn't Eddie. The taxi cab could have gotten in on it, too.
I mean, the taxi cab knew a lot.
He got that flat tire from that dip, though, after Judge Doom kicked
that,
it over.
That dip fucked up them tune wheels.
Those tune wheels. It's a good thing we're talking about Who Framed Roger Rabbit on the Tombstone anniversary show. It's a good thing, because I know a lot of people that are actually pretty hyped about us talking about this movie tonight.
And, okay, we'll get to it. Let me. Benny the Cab.
Benny, not Eddie. I knew it was something with an IE at the end.
Benny
or
the Cab.
Or a Y.
As soon as that dip touched those cartoon tires, boy, he said,
Benny! Hey, Roger, it's me, Benny!
Oh, man, that just.
I'm locked up in the back!
Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner.
Could she have been voiced by Sharon Stone around that time?
Potentially. If they did it again now, Kathleen might be too old. She smoked too many cigarettes by now. You'd probably want Carla Gugino to get in there.
If they did it today, Jessica Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I want that ScarJo.
I want that Carla Gugino.
That ScarJo has a voice. You saw it in Simone.
Oh, 100%. She's got a voice.
I want that Carla.
I want that Carla. Haven't watched The House of Usher yet.
Not yet. Yeah, me neither.
I haven't gone through it yet, but her face keeps cropping up on there.
Yeah. It keeps enticing me every time I turn on Netflix.
It does. She's got those Sith eyes on the thing, and I'm like, oh, shit, what is she doing?
It's been trending at number one for a while.
Full speed.
On Netflix. So I guess I got to dip into it.
I went through the Fassbender killer. It was fine. It did what it had to do.
His inner monologue had more action.
Dude, that's all it was.
Yeah.
And I guess it was a graphic novel, so I guess the graphic novel plays out just like that.
Right.
And I, you know, okay, it was fine.
I was expecting more, but, you know, oh well.
Hey, you know what I was expecting? Mm-hmm. I was expecting to rewatch this movie for this show tonight. And kind of be a little bored, you know, kind of be like, I've seen this movie a million times. Mm-hmm. I'll just put it on in the background. You know, I'm going to do some work while I have it on the background, just willy-nilly.
Oh, you can't work with Tombstone.
I was enthralled. I got sucked right in.
You can't work when Tombstone is on.
I was invested. I mean, there was no part of this movie, watching it again, years later. I think the first time I saw it, I didn't see it in theaters. I probably saw it on home videos somewhere, maybe 94, a year or so after it came out. But watching it, I've watched it, you know, continuously over the years. It's the kind of movie if and when you had cable, kids, you stop for it, right?
Oh yeah, I definitely stop for it.
It's like A Few Good Men, right? You stop for it. You don't stop for A Few
Good Men. I don't catch no. I don't catch A Few Good Men just on nowadays.
Well, I just
it's
mean
not,
like coming
it's not
up
playing a lot.
I just mean coming up, like if it was on cable. It's like in that.
I mean, like, for A Few Good Men, if it's not on that trial scene, then I'm not stopping.
I like that trial prep, though.
The trial prep? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like prep. It. You know, it's raining outside. Demi Moore's all, she's got her shirt on, the top couple buttons are unbuttoned, and Cruz is laying it on. Kevin Pollak's showing up.
Yeah, she was at her hottest right then.
She was so hot, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Because that's right around Ghost for her, right?
Yeah.
That was the hottest Demi Moore's ever been, right?
Disclosure.
Like that Disclosure. I do like that Disclosure.
That Disclosure.
Yeah, she takes Mickey Dougie. Mickey Dougie's not feeling it.
No.
She wants it.
Yeah.
She makes him take it. Yeah. Anyway, Tombstone, folks. Talking about Tombstone. 30th anniversary. 30 years ago, to the week, I think, or almost a week by the time this comes out. And, yeah, hell of a ride. Hell of a ride. Wyatt Earp and his Immortals. Mm-hmm. What does this movie mean to you?
What does this probably the last good Western we got before, can't really recall, like after Tombstone, I wasn't too much invested into Westerns after that. Because even, I don't know, either right before Tombstone or right after Tombstone, we got
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven.
Which is right up there.
Gritty, which was gritty.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, Westerns took a back seat. And you can put a bid in for The Quick and the Dead.
I was going to say that's a fun one.
The Quick and the Dead was a fun one.
It's got that Sam Raimi.
It wasn't as gritty as Unforgiven or Tombstone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then the Western kind of died. It died more down to like more B movies. And, you know, Kurt Russell went on to do more Westerns. And then you had Costner do Earp by himself, which I still haven't seen all the way through. And I hear that Wyatt Earp is a good movie.
It's a good movie. It's just so goddamn long.
Like
Wyatt Earp's childhood, his teenage years, his first marriage, how his wife dies, like, and it's his first wife anyway. All this stuff, you know. And really, what are we really there for? We're really there to see him meet up with Doc Holliday,
right?
And their strange friendship and all that. And Tombstone packs it all in for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got Sam fucking Elliott. You got Bill Paxton. You got Kurt Russell, the man himself, as Wyatt Earp. You got Val fucking Kilmer throwing it out of the park.
And you
throwing
got,
it? Knocking it out of the park.
You got Reese from 2050.
You got that Michael Biehn.
To save Sarah Connor.
To save Sarah Connor, but she's
Johnny Ringo.
But she's left for the Sarah Connor Chronicles, so he's left to his own devices.
Right.
He's quoting Latin.
But I think Biehn, he was coming off what, Abyss, right before Tombstone?
That sounds about right. 93.
Because he was on a roll.
He had Terminator 1 in like the late 80s. He did Abyss sometime in the early 90s. He did Aliens like 89, I want to say 88 or 89. So yeah, he was on a roll. He was on a roll.
Abyss and then roll up on Tombstone. So he had a good ride.
You had a lot of good supporting guys in this. You had Stephen Lang as the cowardly fucking Ike.
Ike.
Stephen Lang, great character actor. You had fucking Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, Thomas Hayden Church.
And don't forget, Michael Rooker showed up for a good time, had a couple lines. Oh, you know,
like that.
So, I mean, pretty well-rounded cast. Powers fucking Booth.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty strong cast.
How about that Powers as a bad guy? Isn't he great?
And as old Curly Bill, you know?
Right. That's what I...
But I think I caught Tombstone on video first. I didn't know about Tombstone in theaters. I caught it on video.
Same here. I think my mom rented it. We watched it as a family. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then I'd see it throughout the years and continue to like it. You know, I watched it again in college. I think my roommate in college had a copy. He loved Westerns. He liked it. He was all about Westerns. Loved Lonesome Dove and all that shit. So he had all that shit. And he made me watch Lonesome Dove. And it's funny because you're right. Westerns weren't really popping during this time. They were more coming up like when in our parents' generation. Like that was
right.
The thing.
They were dying out. And then I was... Before Tombstone, I was more used to all the spaghetti stuff. I was used to like Trinity, Death Rides a Horse,
Once Upon a Time in the West,
The Man with No Name trilogy, right. Django, all those good spaghetti
all
West
shit. Yeah,
and then you know Tombstone, it just took a different approach. It wasn't grainy; it's mm-hmm. gritty, but the film itself, it wasn't grainy like those old films and stuff. He didn't have that same gun sound. Like
no, you didn't.
Eddie Western.
You didn't.
Yeah.
And even the way it was shot very 90s modern.
Yeah, it was shot like...
It didn't try to have that Western aesthetic, you know, where they hold the shot out and there was no Sergio Leone shots of like a train station or... I mean, there was a train station.
You realize how much people really like those spaghetti Westerns. That's why you got, you know, that's why... Kill Bill 2 was the way it was, and Django was the way it was, because Tarantino recognized that No spaghetti westerns. They were grindhouse type movies, and they were gritty, and you got to have that grainy look. You know,
you do kind of. I do
those quick action shots.
I do love a grainy look on a western. You know, I mean the opening of Once Upon a Time in the West is probably one of the greatest western openings of all time. Even though it's not your favorite, I already know which western is your favorite opening of all time. I believe it's that High Plains Drifter, right? With the that shot on the hill, when the guy gets shot on the horse.
Oh no, that's for a few dollars more.
Few dollars more, sorry, but yeah. same world, right?
I don't. I think High Plains Drifter is in a different world,
but still Clint.
It's still Clint. So okay. So for a few dollars, few dollars was the second. Fistful of Dollars was the first,
mm-hmm.
and then Good, Bad, and Ugly was the last of the Man with No Name.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Could Clint have showed up in Tombstone and it would have been okay?
It could have, because I mean, if you had Charlton Heston,
you had Charlton. Yeah. he had a neck scarf too.
Yeah. But yeah, what was the point of that neck scarf?
Hey, don't knock it. You know, it gets hot out there on the plains.
But at the same time, I never knew Charlton Heston to be in a western either.
I never. You know, it's funny. He fit right in, but you're right. He wasn't. I don't think I recall seeing him in any.
Like the thing with Charlton Heston, he was more of a like sci-fi guy for me.
He did a lot of sci-fi,
right?
In fact, going back to your monkey and the man with the yellow hat mm-hmm. controversy, it's odd that we would get that Charlton Heston monkey woman kiss in that first Planet of the Apes movie.
You like
and
that, then, huh?
And then we'd never go back to it ever again.
You like that?
Yeah, I don't know why those new Planet of the Apes movies never went there with it. You know, because even Burton's gave us a Mark Wahlberg and a Helena Bonham Carter monkey mask kiss, but we didn't go back. You know,
you didn't have too many female monkeys going after humans in the Planet of the Apes. I mean, Caesar was your main protagonist, so he wasn't going around kissing humans.
Why couldn't he? That's what I'm saying. Why did we just drop that altogether? We were more focused on plot and story, I guess.
Because was Planet of the Apes, did Planet of the Apes have room for romance?
No, I'm just saying that first Planet of the Apes movie, Charlton Heston has that great moment with that scientist, and she's an ape mm-hmm. woman. And this is a, you know, we're a captive audience. We're watching this thing unfold.
I mean, she had pretty eyes.
She did have pretty eyes. She had a nice little smile and a charming, charming right. voice with a little bit of a British.
Because Roddy McDowell, monkey, he wasn't doing it for her.
But he had good eyes, too.
Oh, yeah. You could tell that was Roddy McDowell.
Right, right. And so you know, Heston goes in for the kiss, you know, or she kisses him. I can't
and
remember.
It's a peck. It's a peck.
It's a peck, but it's a worthwhile peck. It's a bit of a, you know.
Like, it wasn't, it's not a lot of fur surrounding her mouth.
No, it's all, it's, yeah.
And with the Caesar Planet of the Apes monkeys, that's a real monkey. That's a lot of fur around.
There's a lot of fur, but why wouldn't you? Like, who hasn't kissed a furry mouth? You know what I'm saying? So Sam Elliott,
mm-hmm.
Bill Paxton, Kurt Russell, they're brothers. They're leaving.
Perfecta.
They come out of Kansas.
The Earps.
How great are they? You believe they're brothers, don't you?
I still believe they're brothers till this day.
To this day. And those are real mustaches.
Sam Elliott hasn't been able to do anything else for me after Tombstone. He has always been Virgil.
He's the great narrator in Lebowski, though.
Is he?
I love that narration. He's got a great voice. Hell of a voice.
I mean, and then he was, he helped out, you know, Nick Cage.
He sure did. Let's ride.
But how about that? Have you seen, I don't know, it just showed up on my Hulu today. The Man Who Killed Hitler and Bigfoot.
I haven't seen it.
I think I may take that for a ride.
I've wanted to watch it. It's on Tubi, you said?
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Okay. I have wanted to see it.
2018.
A friend of mine saw it years ago when it came out, and he said it was pretty good.
It looks like it might be worth a ride.
And it would fit on this agenda, wouldn't it, for this show?
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe we'll use this movie to spiral topics. And we'll use this movie because it has so many great actors, especially great character actors. Maybe we can use this movie as a springboard for other shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can go down a rabbit hole with Sam Elliott, man. He's done some weird and wild movies.
Full of folks on here, like...
And Paxton. I mean,
Billy Zane, for one.
Billy Zane shows up.
That's a rabbit hole right there.
How great is Billy Zane as the thespian?
As the thespian, right.
And that Dana Delaney. Now, did you get anything for Dana Delaney? Did you feel Wyatt Earp's passion for Dana Delaney?
Definitely. Definitely. He did. Because his heroin addict of a wife, Maddie, you know, he was tired of that shit already once they got to town.
Hey, what say we, you know, just get out of town and just never stop running and maybe we'll live off of room service.
And she was with that.
Hmm.
I said she was with that.
She was a free spirit and he wanted to run away with her and his wife was holed up in the hotel room.
Off of opium.
Hmm, was it opium?
No, it wasn't opium. It wasn't opium.
It was like codeine or something in that drink.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That syrup.
Yeah, and she kept drinking it.
She couldn't put it down.
Yeah. That the bottle of Deb gave you.
Well, they didn't have, you know, drug and alcohol NyQuil, substance program. Right. Well, that too. I was going to say recovery, but NyQuil.
Yeah.
You know, but God bless her. I think about living in that time and just having a cold, knowing this cold, it's a basic cold and it could take you out, you know?
Because they didn't. Look what Doc had. Doc had that ultimate TB.
Oh, but that big nose, Kate, how great is she? That Hungarian woman. She
had a big nose.
That's what they called her, Big Nose Kate. Her character's name is Big Nose Kate. She was a real person in history.
And I never got the big nose.
She was Doc Holliday's Hungarian mistress.
Hmm. I never knew that was a big nose related.
He called her, you Hungarian devil. You know?
A buxom vixen.
You're not wearing a bustle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try that right now. Let's talk about Val playing Doc Holliday. Let's try to both give our best Doc Holliday impressions right now. I do believe you're not wearing a bustle.
Mm.
You know?
Because what was it? It was a Kentucky or Tennessee?
Apparently he tracked down this old guy, or actually it was his dialect coach. He had a dialect coach that he had used on other movies. And this guy tracked down some old bastard in Kentucky. And he said it was the craziest thing. He talked so slowly. If he tried to emulate it for the movie would have been like 3 hours long. Like, he couldn't do it. But he took the voice, but he couldn't do the pacing.
His intro scene.
Oh.
He's just 500.
Right.
Piece of a hand.
Dude. He was like the OG, like before there was an OG. Like, he's so calm and calculated. And I'm pretty sure him and Kate, or Big Nose Kate, whatever you want to call her, his mistress, they just took that place for everything it had and then just rolled out of town, you know?
But I never thought I would get that from Val Kilmer. My only introduction to Val Kilmer was Iceman.
So you had Iceman. My introduction to Val Kilmer was a little different. I didn't grow up on Top Gun. Mine was Mad Mardigan and that Willow.
In Willow, okay.
A
lot of folks got him from Willow, yeah.
But then I see him years later in, I think I saw the Doors movie before this. He played Jim Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty wild. Then he was in The Real McCoy with Kim Basinger. But this is where he kind of stood out.
Val Kilmer was probably due for an Oscar somewhere.
Somewhere, right?
He is a great character actor.
He's a great character actor. He's like a Johnny Depp without all the eccentricities, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
You know? Like, think about all the character work Johnny Depp's done, you know?
Oh, man.
Like, people dismiss Johnny Depp for being just that crazy guy, but you forget that that's the same dude that goes from Jack Sparrow to that fucking maniac in Black Mass.
Right.
The fucking...
And it was fucking John Dillinger.
Dude, and John Dillinger, you know? So about...
That Black Mass. Oh, my God.
Jesus, it's a whole 180.
Whew!
You know? Yeah. And Val had that shit in him, too, because then he would go on to do... he'd play Bruce Wayne in Batman.
Of course. And right there. That's best actor, right there.
That's best actor.
Yeah, Oscar. Oscar.
What else? Oh, I guess Island of Dr. Moreau, Ghost in the Dark, or Ghost of Darkness, something mm-hmm. like that, with the lions, Mickey Doug. That's actually a pretty solid movie.
The Saint.
The Saint. So I don't remember The Saint, but I know he put on different cut. And of course, our boy in Heat, you know?
Oh. In Heat.
All that's around the same time, but it's all after Tombstone. Tombstone put him, I guess, not on the map, but Tombstone definitely like hiked him up.
Resurgence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about Kurt around this time?
Well, Kurt
needed kind of a boost.
Was doing okay. He had just done Backdraft. Okay. He had been a leading man. He had done all kinds of shit. I mean, remember.
What about Executive Decision?
Oh, that's after Tombstone.
That's after Tombstone.
That's kind of towards the end of the resurgence for him.
Okay.
Because then he did that Soldier movie, and then he kind of disappeared for a while. Breakdown, where his wife is kidnapped. By Meatloaf or Randy Travis. I can't remember which one.
I think it was Meatloaf.
Might have been Meatloaf.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kurt's been, I mean, child actor from Disney.
Okay.
And growing up from the 80s into Big Trouble Little China, your favorite movie.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he was just rolling through the mid 80s on out. And then.
And he had done Captain Ron right before this.
Captain Ron. There you go.
But that's a real mustache. All the mustaches in this movie.
I didn't know that. Well, I knew Sam Elliott's mustache was real.
But yeah, that's a real. He really grew that shit. Like you can look up behind the scenes, shit from this movie. And Kurt Russell practically had to help put this movie together because they fired the director in the first like week of this movie. Hmm. And they got this other guy in to pick up. Who some folks, if you talk to them, I guess they felt differently about it. But everybody in the cast says that Kurt Russell unofficially kind of directed this movie. Because the new director was not an asshole, but just he wasn't getting it.
So we got Cosmatos?
George Cosmatos, yeah. Look at that guy's fucking resume.
Yeah.
Jesus. Lack thereof, you know what I mean?
I mean, hey, he worked a lot with Stallone. Therefore, why wouldn't you have Frank Stallone in Tombstone?
I shouldn't say lack thereof. You're right. Cobra. I think he did the second Rambo or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he showed up.
I don't know if he was the bartender or what, but I knew that was Sylvester Stallone's brother.
Oh, Frank Stallone?
Frank Stallone.
Yeah, he did show up in the movie. You know what? He might be the guy that Billy Bob Thornton's fucking with.
That's who he was messing with.
That's fucking wild. They couldn't get Sly. They got Frank.
Oh, man, what if we could have... It wouldn't have made sense to have Sylvester Stallone in Tombstone anyway. It wouldn't have worked.
Nah, he wouldn't work in a Western.
Yeah, you couldn't have an Italian stallion in Kansas. Not Kansas. Wherever Tombstone was.
The same way it's weird when Arnold shows up in Last Stand in a small, dusty town. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work, you know? Like, dude, go get a fucking sword and go stand over there. You forget about Billy Bob right from the minute when Wyatt Earp fucking slaps his ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But that was that's kind of a chubby Billy Bob how he ended up looking at Sling Blade and, you know, later on.
Yeah, that's early Billy Bob. That's before we even know who Billy Bob was.
Right.
But just the way he stares him down into his soul and he's like, of course you're scared.
He'll always be my Wyatt Earp.
He is just, he'll always be one of my favorite actors of all time. Even if I know he's not necessarily the most versatile actor. I know that. But for some reason, when he does a role, like even when he shows up in Once Upon a Time in the West as that old stunt guy, and he's telling Leo, he's like, he doesn't want to hire Brad Pitt. And he's like, look, I don't dig him. All right. That sick son of a bitch fucking murdered his wife. I can't hire him. My wife's not going to hire him. He talks him into hiring him, of course.
You haven't messed with him in that Monarch yet, have you?
I haven't. Is he good?
He's good.
Is the show good?
And the son, yeah.
Because I had a real hard time getting into that first episode.
Really?
It was dragging for me.
I mean, the question was put out on X earlier. Like, if you have movies basically about Godzilla and King Kong, why do you need people?
That's my whole thing.
Why do you need people?
That's my whole thing. I don't understand this incessant continuation to make these movies focused on the people when all I want to see are the goddamn monsters.
And I think that's why, at least that's what I've been reading, that's why the Godzilla Minus One movie is doing so well.
Apparently it's amazing.
It's amazing because it's fucking about Godzilla.
Right. It's not just about Godzilla. It's fucking about.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what that issue is. Like, I tried watching it because people have been talking about it. I started watching the first episode. I couldn't get into it.
I mean, the chicken there, she's just hot. I mean, that's the main thing that's keeping me there.
I just wanted to watch for Kurt.
She's hot.
I didn't even make it to Kurt.
Didn't make it to Kurt yet. Okay.
Does he show up in the first episode?
Not the first episode. He shows up third episode?
Well, you'll have to tell me how it ends.
Right. That.
I'm not going to make it, friend.
That Anna Swy. Wow.
I don't know who she is. I don't think I've seen her.
I don't know
work.
Who she is, but she is beautiful. Wow.
Are you remotely excited for that House of Dragons coming back?
Did you see that fucking dragon fly over?
Yes, I did.
God. Let me tell you the thing about Game of Thrones and all this shit. It's just those fucking dragons, though.
That's
it's
what
something
it is.
About seeing a goddamn flying lizard. It's something about big-ass lizards that attract human beings.
Something about big-ass lizards.
You know, about Godzilla, Jurassic Park, well, fucking dragons. If it's a big-ass lizard
You're
flying
there.
Or whatever, I'm there.
Right.
That big-ass dragon flew through the sky. I'm like, I'll be there this summer.
Is the writing a little bit better, too, after all these years? Like maybe Game of
versus
Thrones?
Versus what?
Versus Game of Thrones writing?
I would say versus the last two seasons.
Yeah. It's strong, yeah. Right?
It's strong, but like I said, that one through four Game of Thrones, untouchable. That's some of the best television you can get.
And this is coming from a guy who's read the books too, kids. Like some people
read the books, waiting on Winds of Winter, not going to get it.
Not going to get it.
Yeah, not going to get it.
Are you an audiobook man with those as well?
I am an audiobook man, and I ran through that shit.
I feel like
what a ride.
I could only fall asleep to that stuff, I feel like.
What a ride.
You know? Who has time?
I'm an audiobook guy. Therefore, I'm so glad that Spotify has brought, you know, audiobooks to the platform. You get 15 hours each month of your favorite audiobook that you want to go through. 15 hours.
Is that a new thing? Because I noticed the other day, like, they've always had some books on there, like classic literature.
Books. But however, if you're a premium subscriber, you get access to the fucking whole library of Audible.
Maybe basically. I need to. And you know, and you can only do 15 hours at a time.
But, I mean, that's a fucking long time.
No, I just didn't know if, like, they cut it off 15 hours for a year or 15
I don't know.
Hours.
You get 15 hours each month.
Each month. Oh, each month. Okay, that's not
each
bad.
Each month. You can't beat that.
You
for
can't
10
beat
bucks.
That. You can't beat that. Right now, I'm falling asleep to YouTube interviews with Norm MacDonald. So, you know, I'll take that as a lullaby.
I'm falling asleep to Fashion Nova try-ons on YouTube.
I don't know what that is. Oh, I got you. Try-ons.
Yeah.
Outfits are being tried on.
Yeah.
And you're watching by a thick woman. How thick is she?
Thick like butter, Jerry.
Thick like butter.
So let's get to favorite scene from Tombstone.
Favorite scene from Tombstone. Let's just move it ahead, folks. If you haven't seen Tombstone already, spoilers lie ahead. I got three favorite scenes.
And favorite scenes. Okay, let's see if we're on the same page.
All of them have Doc Holliday, by the way.
Okay. Why wouldn't they?
Well, you know what it is. I'll tell you this. I love a good duo. I love a good friendship. I like how weird Wyatt Earp's friendship is with Doc Holliday. And after doing a little bit of research, just a little bit, apparently this is actually one of the first Hollywood movies to really highlight and demonstrate that strange friendship. Because apparently Wyatt Earp III, I think he was like a cousin of a cousin passed down from the Earp family, was actually on set as a consultant, and he actually popped up in the movie once or twice. And he said, no, everything that the books have said and all the journals from Wyatt Earp said that they were friends. But these other movies, you know, back in the day when hot westerns were everywhere, would always kind of put the two against each other. Yeah. And this movie actually demonstrated they had this weird kind
right, of friendship. I remember watching Gunfight at OK Corral. They weren't, I can't remember the actors, but they weren't like the way Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer played.
Right.
They were just, they were more like Batman, Superman meeting for the first time.
Right. Like, we're going to hang out, but we're not really.
Yeah. You're not my guy.
You're not my guy.
Next time you see that signal in the sky, don't go to it.
Tell me something. Do you bleed? You will.
Like, the fact that Superman knows that this motherfucker can't do shit. I'm about to tell you what to do in your city.
You know? But because he's holding back and not willing to take a human life, Batman bests him with that fucking kryptonite.
Batman bests him. Yeah.
You know? Because Superman's not willing to. If I wanted to, I could kill you.
But did Bruce know that when Superman flew on top of his car and broke the glass and said, don't go to it? Did Batman knew it then that Superman isn't willing to take a life?
I think so.
I
think so, absolutely.
You think so?
Well, that's hard to say, because in that universe, remember, the whole point of him being so riled up against Superman was because he thought he had destroyed Metropolis with his recklessness, so maybe he might have thought he didn't care. But either way, I love the fact that a plain man, a human being, sees this fucking alien, and he just stands tall looking at him, staring him down, knowing this alien, this creature, this thing from another planet in a red cape could just fucking annihilate him.
Mm-hmm.
But he stares him down and he asks him, do you bleed? And then when he leaves, he goes, you will. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. And maybe I gave that a little too much Klingon. Maybe I did. I don't know. But I like that.
Ka-blah! Tell me something.
Does he say tell me something? No, he's like, tell me.
Do
you bleed? You will. He says it like that. He gives that. You will.
Right, because Superman flew off back to Metropolis and he could still talk shit.
Because he had, because he knew he could hear him too.
He knew he could hear him. Yeah,
he did. He's done some research. Favorite scene in Tombstone.
Yeah. And it's just a quick trip to
just a quick trip to Metropolis in Gotham City.
Quick trip to
BVS. Yep, that BVS. It'll get you. That bowel syndrome too. I gotta say, the first introduction of Ringo and Doc Holliday, where they're kind of going back and forth. You know, Ringo does the gun tricks. Then Doc Holliday does his same tricks with the cup, and, you know, and he's doing that, and everybody kind of, you know, dismisses that. And right on then, he tells him, he goes, oh, he's an educated man. I do hate him. You know what I'm saying? I definitely hate him.
Now I really hate him.
Now I really hate him. The way he stared, like, he's just hanging out with his posse, but that's not really his posse, you know? I even like, there's a little cheap shot in there where he says something about Russell's wife, and Bill Paxton gets fired up, and Morgan's like, you know, hey, Doc, what the hell, man? And Wyatt tells him, calm down, Morgan, that's just his way. You don't mean nothing.
Just his way.
I love that. I love all that. But then I got to skip ahead to the part where, he just tells him, he tells Ringo that he's his Huckleberry, you know? And then the ultimate Huckleberry is when he meets him in the woods by that tree. Mm-hmm. He comes out of the shadows. And when Ringo says, I was just fooling about, he goes, I wasn't. He smiles. Oh, dude, come on. It's the chills. And I even like the death scene, the little heart-wrenching scene with him at the end. And he's in the bed and he's like, please, Wyatt, if you're my friend, if I mean anything, you just leave, you know? I love all that. So I love all the Doc Holliday scenes. Those are my favorite scenes.
You like that Doc Holliday giving him that speech that Whistler gave Blade. Yeah. Walk the fuck away.
You have a you have another career just doing Kris Kristofferson fucking impressions. I swear
because Blade was going to sit there and watch Whistler
and watch him dice
blow his brains
right,
out.
Right, right.
If Whistler hadn't said "walk the fuck away," you know.
He's half human. It's got all their strengths, none of their weaknesses.
None of their weaknesses.
What is your favorite scene from Blade?
I would have to say my favorite scene would let me think, because I don't want to just say it's a bunch of scenes. I think I can narrow it down.
It's not going to be that Ringo Doc Holliday shoot, you know, scene where he kills me. He's like, "Come on, you know Daisy at all?
You know Daisy." I don't know. It would be the introduction to Johnny Ringo himself.
Interesting,
because the way they built up Johnny Ringo is like he was the ultimate baddest. Like Curly Bill ran the game, but you just knew that nobody wanted to step to Johnny like that. And so that opening scene where Johnny shoots the priest.
Oh yeah.
He quotes Revelations. Like, you knew at that point you wanted to see him gunslinging the rest of the movie.
And behold, right, a pale horse. And death followed with him.
Right. And then Johnny Ringo looked so good. Because that's how cowboys should look. Johnny Ringo had a good costume ensemble. Like, Wyatt and the rest of them, they had the long trench coats, they had the suits, but Johnny Ringo had like the little jacket, the scarf, the red sash.
Little red sash with the black jacket and the black pants. The black jacket.
And the way his guns. Yeah. The spurs. Johnny Ringo looked like the cowboy I want to dress like, you know?
Yeah, you're right, because, you know, Powers Booth was, I mean, he looked like a cowboy, but, and he was the leader of the gang, but he didn't have that same edge that Ringo had.
No, he didn't have an edge like Ringo.
And apparently Ringo was fast, like a quick draw.
Real fast.
Wyatt Earp knew he couldn't beat him.
Right.
I can't beat him, can I?
Nope. Doc said it too. Doc told him that too. He was like, "Nope." You see it in his eyes. And then when he said nope, Kurt Russell just said,
"See you later."
All right. But Wyatt Earp was brave though.
Brave as hell.
He was brave as a son of a mother.
No.
What are you doing?
No. Why are you in this mess, Doc? Barely stand.
Told him. What'd he tell him? He's like, "Whatever's my friend."
Hell, I got a lot of friends.
I don't.
That's a scene, man. You know? That is a scene.
Just coughing up his lungs then.
How about that coughing up of that lung?
Yeah.
Pale, sweaty. But
Doc had a good setup too. I like Doc's gun across his chest, and you know, he had the one. What was Doc? It was right-handed or left-handed? Because he had two guns.
I think he was left-handed.
Two guns, one for each of you.
I think he was left-handed because that's the hand he did the cup trick.
Okay.
Where he was like, you know, moving the cup around.
Yeah.
And, but then you're right. He had the two guns. It's right. Like, I got two guns, one for each of you.
One for each of you.
You know Daisy at all.
Yeah.
You know Daisy.
How long is Tombstone? What, 2 hours?
It's a solid 2 hours.
It's a solid 2 hours.
It's a solid 2 hours. It moves pretty quick. There's no slow
parts. It does move pretty quick.
I don't really give a fuck about Dana Delaney when they're in the hills and she's like,
no.
You know, I kind of fast. I might have done some skipsies during
that part. The part I could skip past is the opium part where they go to the Asian village outside the town. And,
yeah.
You know. However, I can't skip the raid on the cowboys. You know.
Oh yeah, I love that.
When, you know, Wyatt and the Immortals are going from town to town.
Yeah, I love that.
I would say the best execution is Probably it probably was when they go back to the opium towns and the guy's about to get the pipe and he puts
he puts his mouth around the barrel
and fucking Caruso blows his brains out. Because at that point, you kill my brother. You kill my little brother. I'm going to kill all you cowboys.
It's over. Bill Paxton's death is pretty impactful.
Right. Morgan?
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody acts their fucking asses off in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you really believe they're brothers. And I don't know. I guess Tarantino is responsible for kind of bringing that Western back. The way he did with Django and then Hateful Eight. I don't know of very many modern Western movies that are as successful or that successful. People still make them, but they're not. They're more like indie movies. You know, that,
I mean, I don't think there's much of a audience for a good Western nowadays.
I've seen some more modern Westerns. I've seen like I think No Country for Old Men is a modern Western.
That's a modern Western, yeah.
And I think that's
and then what Yellowstone tries to do.
Yeah, but even that, I got to be honest, man.
You don't feel Western from Yellowstone?
No, it is, but it's hard for me to get through it.
Why?
Here's the thing. There's not one single likable character in that goddamn show.
John Dutton.
Yeah, he's a bastard, though.
And Rip.
He's a bastard too. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're good characters. I'm not saying they're bad characters. I mean likable in terms of like these are people you like root for and like want to see succeed. And everyone's just hateful and
okay. What's the difference between John Dutton and Walter White? The likability
in terms of two characters that are potentially dying and want to see their family taken care of.
Yeah.
Is he really doing it to take care of his family, though? Is he?
He's protecting a legacy.
But basically. I think he's gotten lost in that, and I think there's a little bit more folly to the and hubris to the Walter White character that you get sucked into. But maybe I'm just saying that because he came first. Who knows? I love Kevin Costner, especially that old Kevin Costner. But I feel like he was the only reason why I kept coming back to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're halfway through season two. My wife and I are just like, "All right, we got to switch shit up." So now we're going back to
not even the story itself is keeping you there.
It's a good story, but then it's like, all right, we get. But like every fucking episode, it's like Jesus Christ. You get like a little taste of like why Beth hates so and so, and why you know this guy in town is a real piece of shit. And like I don't know, it's just.
But then at the same time, I guess I like that cowboy shit.
You do I love like that cowboy that shit.
I
you,
like that.
You know
shit.
Who I love? I love Jimmy, and I want to see Jimmy succeed. I want to see
Jimmy is gonna come out on top.
I want to see him bang that that ex stripper.
Yeah,
but so that, you know,
I guess that's what I like. I like that cowboy shit. I want that. I would like a cowboy hat like John Dutton, and you know, just go out in the mornings and ride my horse and go out and be on the ranch.
See, I don't need all that. I just want to rob
Banks. You don't like that.
I want to rob Banks like Neil McCulley.
You want to rob Banks? Okay.
Like, I want to be.
I guess that's it. I want to be a rancher.
I want to be a robber.
You want to be a bank robber.
When I watch Heat, and don't get me wrong, I love Vincent Hanna. I love Vincent Hanna.
But you want to be.
And I probably should identify with Vincent Hanna because I'm friends with people that are very much like Vincent Hanna. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've worked with people that are like that guy. But I got to tell you, that Neil McCulley and his crew, I want to be in that crew, man. If I can guarantee I won't get got in the getaway. If I could get that guarantee, sign me the fuck up. Sign me the fuck up. If some magical essence could come down and say, oh, yeah, if you do X, Y, Z, you can do this for the rest of your life. You'll never get caught.
Do you see a way out during that robbery scene? If you were there, do you see a way out?
I feel almost as if they should have never done that heist. Knowing what they knew with Van Zandt, but he was willing to just take the risk. It was not worth the risk. But going through it, and then the second, you know, Val sees the fucking cop across the street and just takes him out without a second's notice, you know, when he sees that heat come around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Once that driver got it and they were on foot, it was a wrap. It was a wrap.
So you don't see a way out.
Not for them, because, I mean, they're not the type to just blindly shoot pedestrians. They had kind of a code. Like, they only did that when there was it was either them or, you know, or the person. Mm-hmm. You know, because even when Neil McCulley stole that car, he could have killed that woman, and he didn't. You know? And although that Tom Sizemore definitely picked up a kid and put a gun to which the kid's head.
That's what brought him down. If he hadn't picked up that kid, he would have had more time to at least get out of there.
That's what I'm thinking. But he was kind of hefty.
He was hefty, yeah.
Yeah, he was too hefty. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have Danny Trejo as the getaway guy.
He was like, I'm with you, Neil. Not this time.
All right, so we've talked about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Heat, Batman v Superman.
BVS.
We haven't touched on 89. If you want to touch on 89 real quick before we...
we could have made this whole episode without 89 until then.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I got to bring it up. Mm-hmm. I got to bring it up. Could Neil McCulley's crew exist in the Batman 89 world?
Oh, he would stop him.
Yeah?
He would stop him.
Batman would stop him?
Yeah.
Could we have a Batman at the diner with Neil McCulley?
He just shows up.
Yeah.
In the suit.
Who's your tailor?
You don't think you'll win?
Things change.
Could we have had a De Niro villain somehow?
Oh,
what villain could De Niro?
Oh, man. Now we're getting interesting. Okay, in the Tim Burton verse or just in general?
In general.
Okay. Let's see here. De Niro. Batman villain. Of course, my mind automatically goes to Pacino playing that Dick Tracy villain. And I feel like...
Flat Top?
No.
He wasn't Flat Top.
Big Boss or...
Something like...
Yeah, De Niro. Batman villain. Okay. Maybe... And I don't want to be lazy and just say Falcone.
He could have been one of the big gangsters. He could have been like...
He could have been a Falcone, but I feel like that's...
Falcone.
That's too easy, you know?
That's too easy?
Yeah. I mean, would it have been neat to see a De Niro as a Victor Freeze, maybe? I don't know. Might have been kind of neat.
But if you do De Niro as a Victor Freeze, you can't put him in a suit then. Because he's going to look stupid.
You make him old school. You just dye his skin blue like in the Adam West version.
Right. But you don't put him in a suit.
Okay, Cape Fear De Niro as Victor Zsasz could have been cool.
I'm thinking Black Mask.
Oh shit! What the fuck am I doing with my life? You just hit the nail on the head. It shouldn't have been
De Niro could have been Roman Sionis.
Should have been a '90s De Niro as Roman Sionis.
Yeah,
that would have been great. That would have been great. Oh wow! Now we're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting somewhere. The cast of Heat. As Batman villains.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tom Sizemore shows up as... I have no earthly idea.
That's Tom Sizemore. Clayface.
Perfect. God damn, Clayface. That's great. God damn, you're the best casting director that's ever existed.
Clayface. And who is Man-Bat?
Oh, Dr. Kirk Langstrom. Well, we're going to go two for two here. Val Kilmer himself playing a bat, but this time... A man bat.
Kirk Langstrom, huh?
Oh,
Dr.
Kirk Langstrom. I can see a Val Kilmer with glasses, especially a 90s Val Kilmer playing Dr. Kirk Langstrom. Then he turns, morphs into the bat. Mm-hmm. We get the same guy that did special effects for that Bram Stoker's Dracula to give us that man bat that we've always wanted. Because we technically had a man bat in that movie. We never got to see him again.
So you never like the underworld bats, huh? From Underworld Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mess with that Underworld shit, dude.
I really don't fuck with that shit.
Damn.
I like the first one.
You never took the full ride, huh?
But then when it got to, like, you know, the Lycan Legacy 2.0 bullshit, it was just...
Not so much the... All the after the fourth and... Maybe the fourth installment, I think
I didn't make it that far.
Damn.
I think I made it past two.
All right.
The one where she slices Bill Nighy open, which I thought was cool.
So that was one.
Oh, that was one. So I never made it past one. Wait, does her boyfriend become half?
Yeah, he's half like and half vampire.
Scott Speedman.
Yeah.
Poor man James Caan. Well, poor Scott Caan.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the guy from Big Fat Greek Wedding and Scott Caan merged together to make Scott Speedman.
Okay.
You know? But I'm really trying to like cast the rest of Heat in a fucking Batman movie. And I feel like Danny Trejo needs to show up as something. You know, maybe he could be Mr. Zsasz.
He could be Victor Zsasz.
He could be Victor Zsasz. And then Al Pacino could show up as the Mad Hatter, I guess. That'd be some brutal shit. Or just the fucking straight up Joker. That'd be wild. Al Pacino Joker? That might actually work. A 90s Al Pacino?
What do you do with
get that Ashley Judd as fucking Poison Ivy? Mm.
That was always meant for her.
Mm. I don't know who the fuck's gonna play Catwoman.
That was always meant for her. Mm. Well, what do you do with what is this? What was his name with the with the mother?
Dennis Haysbert?
Huh?
Dennis Haysbert?
No.
With the mullet.
Yeah.
Which one had the mullet again?
What was it?
Was it West Studi that had the mullet? John Voight.
John Voight. Yeah, what did you do with John Voight?
You got time? I'll make time. The fuck would John Voight play? And I want him to have that mullet again, too. I guess John Voight could have been a Mr. Freeze.
You forget sometimes that John Voight was in that first Mission Impossible.
That first Mission Impossible is something else, isn't it?
What a ride.
Yeah.
He kind of caught it in this last Mission Impossible. He kind of caught that same juice that their first one had in this last Mission Impossible.
You like that one, huh?
What a ride.
It was a good ride.
It was a good ride.
I still think Fallout's the best one. That's one of my faves.
That's the one with Superman, right?
Yes, the one with Hank.
Okay.
When they're on that fucking cliff fighting that helicopter.
Do you think Hank walks around in his house and he has guests over and somebody just said, hey, Superman?
I do believe that.
Do you think he requests to be called Superman?
No, but I believe people call him Superman, and I believe when they're sucking his cock.
Because I always wonder, those actors that play the characters, very good.
Mm-hmm.
After the success, like, how many people you think call Keaton Batman?
Probably more people call Keaton Batman than folks call Cavill. Yeah.
You know, just during the day, he's walking inside the studio right now, and like, hey, what's up, Batman? You
know, easily,
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 more than. You would say Chris Evans, when he walks into the studio, they say, hey, Cap.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess technically all those Marvel guys can't get around it because their shit's blasted everywhere.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But Keaton had that legacy.
Speaking of which, it's been 5 years since Endgame.
It's been 5 years. And how do we feel about it?
They just knew what they were doing back then.
They just knew what they were doing.
They just knew what the fuck they were doing back then.
God. I'm trying to stay away from everything because there's stuff that's shooting right now and I don't want to be spoiled, and people keep posting, like, you know, set photos and shit from like Deadpool.
Oh, you saw the deep fake about Deadpool kicking John Wick in the face?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
If that is true.
Well, Ryan Reynolds posted one with like a predator on set too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, there was a predator on set.
And I almost... When I first saw it, not realizing it was a joke fucking with us, I got so excited I almost called you because I was like, this is everything we've talked about.
Because if that's true, then he has saved superhero movies for another few years now.
If Predator showed up in a Deadpool movie fighting Wolverine, it would make so much fucking money. Like, it would be Barbenheimer say goodbye. You know what I'm saying?
Barbenheimer say goodbye.
Because it would just fucking dominate. It would dominate. I still think it's going to dominate regardless. But I just got to stay off that interweb, man, because people keep posting shit, and I'm like, I don't want to fucking know, man.
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I just want to look at, you know, some ass and, you know, see what's going on in the world, you know, overseas sometimes, but not all the time. Just, you know, just sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it on a hose. Don't blast me with it. Just, you know, just a little bit on my face, not.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole bucket, you know. I don't want a bucket of news cum. Just give me like a little bit of a squirt gun size cum. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Squirt on my face with your news ejaculate. Don't give me the hose. You know what I mean? Dar Pixon.
Have you seen this? The Velma and what's the
Betty?
Daphne.
Daphne?
Dar Pixon?
Oh, yes. I watched it 3 times.
You saw it already?
Yes, I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
They get all the monsters.
That mummy sure was giving it to Daphne, wasn't she?
What about that Frankenstein when he grabbed
it? Oh, man, that Frankenstein.
Even that sea creature came in. Damn. If you don't know what we're talking about, kids, you googs, or just go to xvids. # Dar Pixon.
Still waiting for a reply from those guys. Still waiting for a reply.
Still waiting, man. We want to have them on the show and all the cast, too.
Yeah.
Because we've all thought about the Scooby-Doo gang having sexual adventures. We've all thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, male or female, why be biased? We've thought about that Scooby-Doo gang ever since Velma had that skirt. We've all been there. You know, it's low hanging fruit, but it's tasty fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and speaking of low hanging fruit, this movie, would it still be Call Out of Work good? Would we give this movie our best rating? Would you say movie theater good, home video good, Sick with the Flu good, catch it on cable good? It's kind of everything, right?
Yeah.
Solitary confinement good. Could this movie have benefited?
I would say it's movie theater good.
I think it's movie theater good too.
Yeah.
I'd see this in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it would be good for, you know, to show Val Kilmer, we still appreciate him. Him and Kurt Russell.
Him and Kurt.
And pay tribute to Bill Paxton.
Pay homage to Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
I forget he's dead sometimes. You know that?
I forget too.
Because he's just one of those guys who I just thought would always kind of be around.
Right. Yeah, such a good run.
Hell of a run.
Right.
Predator, Aliens.
That Twister.
That Twister, that Helen Hunt.
Twister is underrated, but shouldn't be underrated, but it's so good. Twister was a hell of a good movie.
The only thing that would have made Twister better would be if they were chasing a tornado and they see in the distance, you know, Kevin Costner gets taken away.
And he just,
you know, he just...
You like that part, huh?
I love that part.
It trickles you up.
I had a little solo rant a few eps back, and I said the only way we could top that Costner Pa Kent is if Kurt Russell himself steps in as Pa Kent. Kurt Russell steps in
as Pa Kent. Oh, in the new Superman.
In the new Superman. Yeah. Which would make sense, because he's a James Gunn alum. So you would think he might. That's the rumor. I could see that. Are you excited for Legacy?
Not so much.
You don't care. You're a Superman guy too.
I am a Superman guy, but what are we about to do with him again? Are we about to make him fight Zod another time?
Oh, I see.
You know, but like I said, I did a little research on his Legacy part, and it doesn't look like we're going to go the Zod route.
No, it doesn't. It looks like it's going to get weird and wild.
Like if my kingdom for one, just one appearance of Brainiac.
Amen.
I mean, and then I don't know if they're still thinking about tying in universes again, like the way Snyder did, or everyone's going to be a one-off.
Oh, dude.
Because Brainiac is the ultimate villain.
The ultimate.
He's the ultimate villain.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they need to change things up. I think they will, though. It sounds like they will. Speaking of changing things up, that Fallout trailer, did you see that? You're a video game guy.
I like that Fallout, yeah.
That looks amazing.
I never touched Fallout before. I just like the trailer.
Okay, I never played the game myself, but that trailer looks amazing.
But you don't play games anyway, so.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I know of the game. My sister played the game. She was all about it, yeah.
Okay.
I knew the title. I knew the IP, but I was like, oh, I don't know what's what. Nuclear Holocaust, survivors, mutants. I'm all about that. You know, Walter Goggins looking like Red Skull with a cowboy hat. You know, I'm there. Not to mention Boys season 4. We got a lot of good things coming about in 2024.
Yeah. 24, yeah.
Got some good things coming around the bend.
Yeah.
So all's not lost.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Not like this.
Mm-hmm.
Not like this. Mm-hmm. You son of a bitch, you're still gonna burn.
Sorry. That Matrix run.
When
the last time you took a Matrix run?
It's been a while. I feel like I need to do it. Maybe I'll do it tonight. What's next? What are we doing next? What do you want to do next? You know what else is coming up on an anniversary? That Mask of the Phantasm. We've never really talked about it.
It is at Christmas time, right?
It came out on Christmas in 1993. Yeah. It's going to hit its 30th. I think we got to do it.
And the same with Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. Die Hard is a hell of a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Did it come out at Christmas?
I don't think it came out at Christmas, though.
But it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie, right. Well,
we can always go back to John McClane.
Mm-hmm.
Always. That's all I have. And, I'm just winding it down. It's already 11 o'clock. We hope you guys are tucked in, safe and sound, in podcast land out there.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything we said on this show that made you ponder your existence or question your morality, remember, it's just fiction. I'm your Huckleberry. And Betty Boop would still get it.
Mm-hmm.
She still got it.
Still got it, Eddie.
Still got it.
Take off the fufu. Take off the cloud chase. Take off the Wi-Fi. Take off the money phone. Take off the car loan. Take off the flex and the white loss. Take off the weird ass jewelry. I'ma take these steps, then I'm taking off top off. Take off the fabricated streams and the microwave memes. It's a real world outside. Take off your idols. Take off the runway. Take off the Cairo. Take off the sandal, pay 5 days stay, take up for the meal and the filing. Take off the cross flag, take off reception, take off the cop with the hot pad. Take off the hello, take off the unsure, take off the solutions I lack. Take off the fake deep, take off the fake woke, take off the humble cock here. Take off the gossip, take off the new logic, then if I'm rich, I'm real. Take off the short nail, take off the dope jet, take off the broken bags. Take off the